الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فأولئك هم الفائزون وقال تعالى حاميم والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, all praise is due to the Almighty Allah, who has given us the tawfiq and the ability to gather on this momentous occasion, understanding and acknowledging the significance and the excellence that Allah has attached to this night. Perhaps many of us would have left behind many engagements that we were involved in, being a Saturday night, and alhamdulillah, it's good to see so many youngsters who could have been involved in so many other vices, so many other wrongs. But we have left all that behind and we have presented ourselves in the masjid, in the court of Allah. Perhaps if we could begin on this particular principle, on this particular point, that just as we have left behind many other engagements that we were involved in, and recognizing the excellence of this night, we have presented ourselves in the masjid. If we could generalize the statement, or apply this in every facet, every aspect of our lives, that in my life, I will make important what Allah has regarded to be important. And in my life, I will trivialize and make unimportant those things that Allah and His Rasul have trivialized. Allah's qasam, if we adopt this principle, not only will Allah grant us Jannah, but it is hoped that Allah would give us a very comfortable life even in this world. The Isha of today, we have attached some importance to it. But the Isha of yesterday, the Isha of tomorrow, and the Isha and the Salah of every other day is equally important in the eyes of Allah. So at the very outset, let us apply this principle that not from the month of Ramadan, but from today, those things that Allah has regarded to be important, I will make those things important in my life. And those things that Allah and His Rasul have trivialized, I will regard those things to be insignificant in my life. Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali, on one occasion, while addressing a gathering of professional people, so one person stood up and he began introducing these professional people, that this man is a doctor, this man is a lawyer, this man possesses this degree, that man possesses that degree. Maulana paused for a short while and then he said, that tell him, since when has the title of a kafir become the introduction of a believer? There was a time in Islam when a Muslim was recognized for his services to deen. O Nabi of Allah, this man had taken part in Badr. O Nabi of Allah, this man had taken part in Uhud. And accordingly, they were introduced to the Nabi of Allah. In fact, relevant to tonight's occasion, one of those many persons who are deprived of the forgiveness of Allah on this night, it is that person who harbors malice and hatred in its heart for his next Muslim brother. The conquest of Makkah is an ideal opportunity which would give us an understanding of ultimate forgiveness in the life of Nabi alayhi salam. Many a time somebody does us something wrong, and then we say that this is an unpardonable wrong. In my entire life, I would never forgive this man. Let us see what wrong was done to Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10th of Ramadan, after the Asr Salah, He leaves with approximately 10,000 Sahaba from Medina Munawwara. And the first setback that he faces is from one of his near companions, a Sahabi by the name of Hatib ibn Abi Balta radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This particular Sahabi heard about the plan of Nabi alayhi salam, and he was overtaken with emotions and sentiments, and he thought to himself that I have family members in Makkah who are sitting there defenseless, and for me not to inform them will be incorrect. So he calls one woman. This riwayat appears in Bukhari Sharif, the second volume on the fifth page. Abu Dawood, second volume on the first page. He calls this woman, he writes a letter, and he tells this woman that take this letter to the people of Makkah and tell them to prepare themselves accordingly. The Nabi of Allah intends to invade Makkah. This woman takes this letter and she puts it in a plait of her hair and she embarks on a journey. Jibril descends. Oh Muhammad, one of your close companions has betrayed you, and he intends unveiling and revealing your secret. Immediately Nabi alayhi salam called Sayyidina Ali, Miqdad ibn Aswad and Abu Marthad, and he told him that ride as fast as you can. Hatta ta'tu rawzata khakhin. You will come to a certain place, and there you will find a woman. She has some intimate information with her. Tell her to give it to you. Intercept that woman and bring her back to me. These three companions rode as fast as they could. They come to that precise location the Nabi of Allah had told them. They come to this woman. You have some intimate information with you. She says, I have nothing. They say, the Nabi of Allah can never speak a lie. Take it out. فَأَخْرَجَتْهُ مِنْ عِقَاسِهَا. She opens a plait. She takes out this letter. This is from Hatib ibn Abi Balta to the people of Makkah. Prepare yourselves accordingly. The Nabi of Allah intends to invade Makkah. Understand the plan of Nabi alayhi salam. One close companion decides to unveil a close secret of Nabi alayhi salam. This woman, this letter is brought to Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam sends for Hatib ibn Abi Balta. He comes into the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma hamalaka ala ma sanat. Oh Hatib, what has caused you to do this? Sayyidina Umar is nearby. Da'ni ya Rasulullah. Adribu unuqa hadha al munafiq. Grant me permission, I will behead this hypocrite. He has betrayed you. La ta'ajal alayya ya Rasulullah. La ta'ajal alayya ya Rasulullah. O Nabi of Allah, don't be hasty. Let me explain what transpired. Wallahi ma kafartu wal artadattu. By Allah's qasam, neither have I become kafir, neither have I become renegade. I love you and I love your deen. The only reason why I have done this, I was overtaken with sentiments and for family ties. I thought to myself, I have family members in Makkah who are sitting defenseless in Makkah, and for me not to inform them will be incorrect. But I love you and I love your deen. I was overtaken with emotions and sentiments of family ties. Nabi alayhi salam looks at the Sahabi and he says, oh my Sahaba, he has spoken the truth and nobody should harass him. When Sayyidina Umar said that, grant me permission, I will behead him. Nabi alayhi salam said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ اِطَّلَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرِ فَقَالَ عَمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Oh Umar, don't you know what Allah said regarding those who had taken part in a battle of Badr? They can do what they want, I have forgiven them. Bukhari Sharif, second volume. مَا تَعُدُّونَ أَهْلَ بَدْرِ. Jibril descends. Oh Muhammad, how do you view those who had taken part in a battle of Badr amongst your Sahaba? Nabi alayhi salam said, they are senior in rank to my other Sahaba. وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَ. And similarly, those malaika who assisted the Muslims in a battle of Badr are senior in rank to the other malaika of Allah. The Sahabi has taken part in Badr. Oh Umar, nobody should point a finger against him. Brothers, you and I have gathered. Mufti Taqi Usmani Damar Barakatum writes, he says, this night of Bara'a, it is a boon and a favor from the side of Allah for the sinful servant to prepare himself before the month of Ramadan dawns upon him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is performing salah in Masjid al-Nabawi. One person enters the masjid and he exclaims the kalima loudly, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. After Salah, Sayyidun Umar turned around. He looks at this person, he's a Ajam, he's a non-Arab. Sayyidun Umar asked him that, what has inspired you to recite the Kalima? Brothers, you and I, we listen to bayan upon bayan, it doesn't touch the heart. Sayyidun Umar asked this person, what has inspired you to recite the Kalima? He says, I heard one prisoner reciting one verse of the Quran. I have studied all the divine scriptures. In my understanding, this one verse of the Quran contains within it the knowledge of all the divine scriptures put together. Sayyidun Umar asked this man, which verse are you speaking about? Nabi alayhi salam is sitting with his sahaba. Mufti Shafi Sahib made mention of this incident. One sahabi is extremely ill. When they had that firm desire to learn, Allah's qasam, Allah inspired them independently and individually. One sahabi is extremely ill. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is nearby. He goes and he whispers something into the ears of the sahabi, and instantly he gets cured. Nabi alayhi salam calls Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, what have you recited in this person's ear? He lowers his gaze. He says, O Nabi of Allah, what can I tell you? The following verse of the Quran crossed my mind. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Nabi alayhi salam tells him, O Abdullah, Allah has inspired you through that verse of the Quran. Sayyidun Umar asked this person, which verse are you talking about? He says, I have studied all the divine scriptures. In my understanding, this one verse of the Quran contains the knowledge of all the divine scriptures put together. I refer to this verse of the Quran, which appears in the 18 Juz. وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهِ وَيَخْشَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَّقِي فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Sayyidun Umar tells this person, elaborate, elucidate. How do you understand this verse? He says, in my understanding, وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهِ, that person who obeys Allah, this refers to all those things that are compulsory, mandatory, and obligatory. وَرَسُولَ, that person who obeys Allah's Rasul, this refers to total compliance to the noble dictates of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيَخْشَ اللَّهِ, that person who fears Allah with regards to his past. وَيَتَّقِي, and he becomes conscious of Allah with regards to his future. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, he is the one who has earned the joy of both the worlds. Brothers, it was this night of Bara'a where Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the home of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was that fortunate woman who enjoyed those close moments with Nabi alayhi salam. On many occasions, Nabi alayhi salam told her, "Oh Aisha, before marrying you, Jibril had already informed me that you will be my wife." Bukhari Sharif riwayat, Jibril numerous occasions used to descend in the form of Dahya Qalbi. Nabi alayhi salam used to tell her, Ya Aish, Hadha Jibril yaqra'u alayki salam. Oh Aisha, this is Jibril that is greeting you. Once upon a time, upon the Aisha of this ummah was coming the salams of Jibril. What has happened to the Aisha of today? Upon her, the curse of Allah is descending. She says, Nabi alayhi salam entered my room, and when he thought that I had fallen off to sleep, she says, I was observing and witnessing what was happening. Very discreetly, Nabi alayhi salam made his way out of my room. She says, I was perceiving what was happening, and naturally my ego began to pass suspicion. My ego began to pass suspicion that my night and the Nabi of Allah is spending my night with one of his other wives. So I decided to follow him. She says, I followed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I was left totally embarrassed. I found the Nabi of Allah in Baqi crying for his ummah. She says, I was left totally embarrassed. I turned around, I ran back home, I laid down. After a few moments, Nabi alayhi salam entered. I was breathing very heavy. Nabi alayhi salam said that, oh Aisha, why are you breathing so heavy? She says, I smiled. And oh Nabi of Allah, if we intend hiding anything from you, Jibril has already informed you. She says, when you left my room, my ego began to pass suspicion that perhaps my night you are visiting one of your other wives. He says, oh Aisha, do you think I will betray you? She says, no. He says, "Oh, my beloved Aisha, I was lying down next to you. Jibreel descended and he told me, 'Oh Muhammad, this is the 15th of Sha'ban, the Laylatul Bara'a, the night of freedom and emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Jibreel has ordered me to spend the entire night in Salah.'" Such a lengthy Salah Nabi alayhi salam performed on this particular occasion. Aisha radiallahu anha says that for a moment that thought crossed my heart that Nabi alayhi salam had passed away. I went forward. I felt his feet. Only when I perceived some movement did I realize that Nabi alayhi salam is alive. Repeatedly crying to Allah, making dua to Allah. أعوذ بعفوك من عقابك وأعوذ برضاك من سخطك وأعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. Oh my Allah, oh my Allah, I cannot praise you as you ought to have been praised. You are as you have praised yourself. سبحانك ما عبدناك حق عبادتك سبحانك ما عرفناك حق معرفتك. Oh my Allah, we cannot praise you as you ought to have been praised. And oh my Allah, we cannot recognize you as you ought to have been recognized. This is how Nabi alayhi salam spent this night. Brothers, the hadith and the dua that I quoted before you. Nabi alayhi salam used to recite this dua excessively from the month of Rajab. That Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That Allah grant us your barakat and your blessings in the month of Rajab, in the month of Sha'ban. And ya Allah, let us see this auspicious month of Ramadan. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast excessively in the month of Sha'ban. In fact, with regards to tonight's occasion, as we all very well know, that as much as Allah forgives, as much as Allah pardons, and as much as Allah displays His mercy, yet certain categories of people, even on this momentous occasion of forgiveness, they are deprived of the mercy of Allah. And one is that person who is guilty of disobeying his parents. Such a person on this momentous occasion of forgiveness will never get his sins forgiven on this night. Such a person, according to one riwayat, that on this night Allah pardons and Allah forgives equivalent to the hair on the goats of the tribe of Bani Kalb. But let us analyze how great a sin this is, that even a momentous occasion like this will not have this person's sins forgiven. That person who is guilty of disobeying his parents, I address one and all, and especially our youth that have gathered on this night. Before you ask anyone else for forgiveness, knock the door of your parents and beg them to forgive you. Unfortunately, this has become so common. The riwayat appears in Bukhari, when Nabi alayhi salam speaks about three people who spoke in a crib and a cradle. And Nabi alayhi salam speaks about Sahib Juraij, the companion of Juraij. Juraij was a person from one of the previous nations, a person of exceptional piety. فَاتَّخَذَ صَوْمَعَةً. He built his monastery and he used to make his ibadah there. One day while worshipping Allah, his mother comes and she calls out, "Ya Juraij, oh my son Juraij, I am calling you." This youngster in his salah, he's left in this dilemma. اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيَّ إِجَابَةُ أُمِّي وَإِتْمَامُ صَلَاتِي. One side is the call of my mother, and one side is the completion of my salah. This youngster is left in a dilemma. He ignores the call of his mother and he decides to give preference to the completion of his salah. Falamma atatu min al-ghad. Second day, this mother comes. She finds a son in salah. May Allah make that a reality in our homes also. Abu ibn Abbas writes under this verse, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, bless us with such wives, such children, who become the coolness of the eyes. He writes under this verse, he says, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أقر لعين المؤمن من أن يرى زوجته وأولاده مطيعين لله عز وجل. There is no sight that is more soothing to the eye of a believer than when a person comes home, he finds his son in salah, his daughter making the tilawat of the Quran, his wife making the dhikr of Allah. May Allah make that a reality in our homes also. Second day, the mother comes. She finds her son engaged in salah. Third day, she comes. She finds her son engaged in salah. She calls out, Ya Juraij. This youngster ignores the call of his mother and he gives preference to the completion of his salah. On the third day, when he did not respond to the call of his mother, this mother was now hurt. My respected brother, don't take the curse of your mother. This mother on the third day, she was overtaken with emotions. She picked up a hand. Allahumma, Allahumma, inna hadha Juraij, huwa ibni, fakallamtuhu faabai yukallimani. Allahumma, la tumitu hatta turiyahu wujuha al-mumisat. She says, oh my Allah, this is my son Juraij. First day I called him, he refused. Three consecutive days he refused. Oh my Allah, my heart is now hurt. I now curse the son of mine, Juraij. Let him not die. Let him not die until such a day passes in his life. Let him see with his naked eye repeatedly the most unpleasant sight of an adulteress and a prostitute. This night will not forgive. That man, that woman, that youngster is guilty of disobeying his mother or his parent. Youngster engaged in salah. When Alqamah could not recite the kalima, Nabi alayhi salam called his mother. Either forgive him or either we will burn him. And the reason for that was, he used to give preference to his wife over his mother. Nabi alayhi salam, when he lowered him into the qabr, he stood at a grave and he gave a talk. Man faddala zawjatahu ala ummi, fa alayhi la'natullah wal malaika wal nasi ajma'in. That person who gives virtue to his wife over his mother, upon that person lies the curse of Allah, the curse of the angels, and the curse of each and every person that has walked the surface of the earth. What has happened to the youngsters of today? Oh my brother, by all means you have grown up and you have taken that woman into your marriage. By all means. But have you lost your morals so much that you sit in seclusion with your wife and you speak ill of your own mother? May the earth split and swallow such a boy. That man who sits in seclusion with his wife and he speaks ill of his own mother. Yes, my beloved, mommy is like that. Mommy makes those silly mistakes. May the earth split and swallow such a boy. Wallah, my brother, you will find another wife. You will never find another mother. Just as Allah says, oh insan, when you remember me, I remember you. When you forget about me, I still remember you. That child who is in the service of his mother, Allah's qasam, his mother is making dua for him. And that boy, that son, who has thrown his mother into some old age home, I swear by Allah, till today, his mother is still crying for him. His mother is still crying for him. In Mustadraf, fi kulli fan in Mustadraf, it is written, when Musa alayhi salam received prophethood, in this riwayat it comes, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala conveyed something like 3,500 advisors to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And the final time when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala spoke to Musa, Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, Ausini, Ya Allah, give me some pertinent advice. Allah said, Usika bi ummik. Oh Musa, my only advice to you is, be dutiful to your mother. He said, Ya Allah, something of pertinence. Which Musa? The one who sent the angel of death back, the one upon whom the Torah was revealed, is told that be dutiful to your mother. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, something of pertinence. The discussion continued in this way. In the end, Allah tells Musa alayhi salam, Inna ridaha ridaya. Remember, O Musa, if your mother is pleased with you, I am pleased with you. If your mother is displeased with you, you can do what you want. I would never be pleased with you. Coming back to this incident, فَتَذَاكَرَ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ جُرَيْجًا وَعِبَادَتُهُ. The people started speaking about the piety of this young boy, Juraij. There was one woman in that locality. She said that, إِنْ شِئْتُمْ لَأَفْتِنَنَّهُ لَكُمْ. If you want, I will seduce this man and I will trap him in evil. Brothers, study the riwayats. amongst those who are also deprived of the forgiveness on this night, it is that person who is guilty of committing zina. Nabi Ali Salam said, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن إذا زنى العبد خرج منه الإيمان فكان فوق رأسه كالظلة فإذا خرج من ذلك العمل رجع إليه الإيمان. When a person commits zina, iman leaves his body and hovers above his head. And only when this person finishes this with this act of zina, does iman come back to his body. Something that was so hated by Allah and His Rasul has today become something acceptable to the Ummah. Few years back, while people were criticizing what was happening to that one woman in Africa, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam says, إِقَامَةُ حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ مَتَرِ أَرْبَعِينَ 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 سَنَ فِي بِلَادِ اللَّهِ. To execute this punishment of Allah and to execute this punishment of zina, it is better for the people of that time, better for the people of that city, better than 40 days of beneficial rain. This woman comes forward in a very seductive way. She exposes her nudity. But this friend of Allah, Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan wa kafa bi rabbika wakila. When Shaitan had taken that pledge that he would mislead man, Allah told Shaitan, there are certain selected chosen servants of mine. You can do what you want. You would never succeed in beguiling or misleading them. This woman comes forward. She presents herself in a very seductive way. But this friend of Allah did not even cast a lustful gaze, never mind a lustful hand. In the end, this woman did not succeed. There was one shepherd who used to come to this monastery. This woman gains access to the shepherd. She commits zina with the shepherd. As a result, she conceived. When she had given birth, she went around the town announcing that the father of this child is that same Juraij who the world terms to be pious. The people of that town took the word of this woman for granted. They came to the monastery. They took him out of the monastery. They broke the monastery down. They took him on the back of a donkey and parading through the streets. Mura'in tukhadi'u an-nas bi'amalik. One side you are committing zina, and on the other hand you claim to be a very pious person. فَلَمَّا خَرَجُوا نَحْوَ بَيْتَ الزَّوَانِي. When they came to that particular street where the prostitutes were operating, when they went through the other streets, this youngster lowered his gaze. He remained silent. He didn't utter a single word. When they came to that particular street where the prostitutes were operating, they had seen that there were certain contradictory emotions on the face of this young man. At times he sighed, at times he cried, at times he remained silent. So they asked him, O Juraij, what is the reason for this? When we went through the other streets, you remained silent. When we came to this street, we noticed there were certain contradictory emotions on your face. He says, what can I say? I remember many years ago, I was engaged in salah. My mother called me for 3 consecutive days. I ignored the call of my mother and I gave preference to the completion of my salah. My mother was overtaken with emotions and sentiments. And she said, O my Allah, the son of mine, Juraij, let him not die until such a day passes in his life that let him see with his naked eye the most unpleasant sight of an adulteress and a prostitute. He says, today I cry. My mother has passed away many years ago, but the curse of my mother has remained with me up to today. The curse of my mother has remained with me up to today. In Fathul Bari it is written, this was indeed the mercy of this mother that her curse stopped at this level. That O my Allah, the son of mine, Juraij, let him only see prostitutes. She did not make dua, O my Allah, let the son of mine get involved with prostitutes. One sahabi comes to Nabi alayhi salam, Hamaltu ummi ala unuqi farsakhain. I've carried my mother on my back for 6 miles. Fi ramda'in shadidatin. In such heat. Law alqaytu fiha bud'atan min lahmin. Lanadajat fahal adaytu shukra. That if somebody had to take a piece of flesh and throw it on the ground, within seconds it would have melted. Have I perhaps done justice to the kindness of my mother? Nabi Ali Salam said, oh my Sahabi, what are you telling me? What you have done is not equivalent to a fraction of what pain your mother experienced when she had given birth to you. The riwayat of Muslim and Bayhaqi, one woman comes begging to the door, Sayyidina Aisha, oh Aisha, I am begging. Aisha radiallahu anha takes out 3 pieces of dates. She gives it to this mother. One child on this side, one child on the other side. The mother takes one date, gives it to one child. She takes the other date, gives it to the other child. The children began eating the respective dates. They had seen the third date in the hand of the mother. They began tugging at the dress of the mother. That give us the third one also. Brothers, let us be honest. You and I, you come back after a tiring day. And if your children respond in that way, you will tell the wife to take your children and go in the other room. Put up another pot of food for them. I am hungry. Wallah, my brother, it is that mother who doesn't know time, who doesn't know wealth, who doesn't know venue, whether it is in the dead of night. She gets up. Like one person said it so beautifully. When children are small, they make their parents' arms pain. When they grow up, they make their parents' hearts pain. What has happened to you, O youth of today? O competent youth, O potential youth, O those who have advanced in this world, but have you forgotten the obligation of your mother? I wonder whether you are progressing or retrogressing. Aisha radiallahu anha observes with anxiety. These two young girls began tugging at the dress of the mother. That give us the third one also. This mother takes the third date. Aisha observed with anxiety. She takes the third date. She breaks it in two. Half to this child, half to that child. And she herself goes hungry. Nabi Ali Salam returns. Oh my beloved husband, a very peculiar thing happened today. What is it, oh my Aisha? She narrates this incident. A woman came begging. I gave her 3 pieces of dates. She gave one to one child, the other to the other child. The children began tugging at the dress of the mother. The mother took the third date, half to this child, half to that child. Nabi Ali Salam said, oh my Aisha, what can I tell you? Jannat has become wajib for that mother. لَقَدْ دَخَلَتْ بِذَٰلِكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Oh my brother, have you forgotten that mother of yours? One sahabi comes to Nabi Ali Salam. Oh Nabi of Allah, who is deserving for my best relation? Nabi Ali Salam says, your mother. Next in merit, your mother. Next in merit, your mother. On the fourth instance, Nabi Ali Salam says, your father. One sahabi comes, Aradtul Jihad. I intend going in Jihad. Ji'tuka astashiruk. But I thought, let me seek some advice. Nabi Ali Salam looks at him. Hallaka min ummik? Oh my sahabi, do you have an elderly mother? He says, yes. Nabi Ali Salam said, Ilzamha fa innal jannata inda rijliha. Secure a good relation with your mother. Serve your mother. You have done that. Jannat is yours. The riwayat of Durr Manthur. Abdullah bin Umar is the narrator. Listen to the words of Nabi Ali Salam. لَنَّوْمُكَ عَلَى السَّرِيرِ بَيْنَ وَالِدَيْكَ وَتُضْحِكُهُمَا وَيُضْحِكَانِكَ أَفْزَلْ مِنْ جِهَادِكَ بِسَيْفِ. Oh my Sahabi, your presence sitting on the bed of your mother, next to your parents, bringing joy to your parents, making your mother laugh, making your mother smile, while thousands of youth are making their mothers cry. We are those youth who will make their mother smile. While thousands of youth are bringing grief and sorrow to their parents, we are those youth who will bring happiness to their parents. That every time your mother looks at you, it is dua. In the dead of night, it is dua. Every turn, it is dua. Nabi Ali Salam said, oh my Sahabi, your presence sitting on the bed of your mother, looking at your mother, bringing joy to your mother, it is better for you than taking the sword and going in the ferocious battle and killing the kuffar. Serving your mother, the Sahabi says, O Nabi of Allah, I intend going in jihad. What advice do you give me? Nabi Ali Salam says, do you have a mother? He says, I have an elderly mother. Nabi Ali Salam says, فَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِيهَا فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ فَأَنْتَ حَاجُرٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. Go and serve your mother. If you have done that in the eyes of Allah, you made Hajj also, you made Umrah also, you made Jihad also. Brothers, it is a very hostile relation. There are so many other points to mention. Let me just touch on this point and then we will continue. It is a very hostile relation between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. I want to present, in my humble opinion, two ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam so that we could come to a workable, suitable solution. My respected father, those that are elder than me in age, while you may be sitting and wondering that this is a wonderful topic, I wish my son is present, I wish my son is listening, but I want to ask you, my respected father, my respected grandfather, while you want your son to respect you, my question to you is, when last have you visited the grave of your parents? One brother came to me some time ago. I spoke about the aspect of death in this very masjid. It was last year sometime. One brother after the program, he said, Molana, for the last 10 years, my mother passed away 10 years ago. I haven't visited the grave of my mother once. I want to present two ahadith to suggest in what I am advocating or advising at this particular juncture. Brothers, it is vital, it is important. One side is your wife, one side is your mother. As a husband, you are left in a dilemma. You are trying to please your wife on one side, and one side is your mother. I want to share to you two ahadith. Listen to these words attentively. The first hadith appears in Jam'ul Fawaid. The narrator of this hadith is Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. Who is the narrator? Sayyidina Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, Nabi alayhi salam said, أَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ حَقًّا عَلَى الرَّجُلِ أُمُّهُ وَأَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ زَوْجُهَا. That the greatest obligation a woman owes is not to her parents but to her husband. And the greatest obligation a man owes is not to his wife but his mother. Let us analyze these words of Nabi alayhi salam. The greatest obligation a woman owes is to her husband. And the greatest obligation a man owes is to his mother. The second hadith appears in Bayhaqi. Abdullah bin Umar is the narrator. Nabi alayhi salam said, Man asbaha muti'an lillahi fi waliday. That person who gets up in the morning obeying Allah with regards to his parents, asbaha lahu babani maftuhani min al-jannah. He gets up in such a condition that two doors of Jannah are open for him. وَمَنْ أَصْبَحَ عَاسِيًا لِلَّهِ فِي وَالِدَيْهِ. That person who gets up disobeying Allah with regards to his parents, one sahabi comes to Nabi alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, if my parents oppress me, what can I do? Nabi alayhi salam said, if they oppress you not once, not twice, not thrice, you disobey them once, the doors of Jahannam are open for you. It can never be correct for you to raise your voice in front of that woman who has nurtured you, who has taken you from pain to pain. Brothers, one mother told me personally that tell my son not to raise his voice in front of me. That woman who has come into his life today, has he abandoned me in this old age home because of that wife of his? Brothers, what has happened to the youngsters? If you take one thing from this program, let us make this intention that Ya Allah, from today, those of us who are not speaking to our parents, that Ya Allah, from today, I will secure a good relation with my mother. Let us all say inshallah. Let us not take the curse of our parents. One great mufassir, one of the greatest mufassir in recorded history is Mufassir Jurjani. The ulama will know what I am talking about. When he was a young child, he had an evil practice that he used to take a twine and a string and he used to tie it to the legs of the birds and he used to break the legs of the birds. One day the mother was overtaken with emotion. The curse of the mother. The mother was overtaken with emotion and she said, Ya Allah, you break the legs of my son like how he breaks the legs of the birds. The curse of the mother, it happened such, this youngster became crippled, he lost his legs. This mother then made dua to Allah. Ya Allah, I have cursed my son, he is suffering. I now make dua to you. The curse of the friends of Allah, the curse of the parents. One person comes to Sayyidina Umar, complaining that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, our governor, we are not happy with him. And amongst the many allegations that they level against him were that he doesn't perform salah properly. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sends for Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas And he says that certain allegations have been leveled against you. And one of the allegations are that you don't perform salah properly. He says, I don't know what salah these people want from me. I perform salah like how I had seen my Nabi performing salah. I lengthened the first two rakats and I shortened the second two rakats. You know, very often you find ordinary people commenting about the ulama. You know, Mawlana, he reads salah like this, he reads salah like that. Brothers, it is not for you and I to judge. These are the imams. Learn to respect the ulama. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas and another sahabi to the different localities. That go to the different localities and ask them, what are the grievances against this man? They come to the first masjid. This is your governor, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. You have any problems with him? No. They come to another masjid. This is your governor. Are you pleased with him? Yes. Hatta dakhalu masjidan li bani Absin. They come to one masjid. This is your governor, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Are you happy with him? Yes. One person stands up and he says, I am not happy with this man. What is the problem? لا يسير بالسرية ولا يقسم بالسوية ولا يعدل في القزية. You see this person, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. He sends us out in the expeditions. He himself does not take part. Number two, he does not distribute with justice, with fairness, with equality. And number three, he does not make sound decisions. He's not sound in his judgment. So he lacks fairness and equality in his judgment. He does not distribute with fairness. And he does not take part in the battles. You are playing with a friend of Allah. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas stood up. He picks up his hands. Allahumma in kana abduka hadha qama kadiban qama ri'atan wa sum'atan fa'til umrahu wa'til faqrahu wa'rizhu lil fitan. That, O my Allah, this man has stood up to embarrass me, to disgrace me. O my Allah, I have only one thing to say. Lengthen the lifespan of that man. And as long as he lives, lengthen his difficulties, lengthen his difficulties, lengthen his depression. وَالرِّزْهُ لِلْفِتَنِ. Let him not die until such a day passes in his life that he has tasted every fitna under the sun. Sahaba used to say that this man became so sick, he used to walk around saying, I am walking around with the curse of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. The curse of the friends of Allah. Nonetheless, coming back to this incident, this mother made this dua. This youngster, he lost his legs. She then makes dua to Allah. O my Allah, I curse my son, he is suffering. I now make dua on behalf of my son. Ya Allah, you bless my son. On the dua of the mother, Allah had blessed him with such knowledge. Like the poem goes, مَا فَهِمَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا الْأَعْرَجَانِ الْأَوَّلْ مِنَ الزَّمَخْشَرِ وَالثَّانِي مِنَ الْجُرْجَانِ. That only two people in the entire world have understood the Quran. His tafsir is of such a caliber that it cannot be understood. Leave the layman. Many ulama find difficulty in accessing this tafsir. On the curse of the mother, he lost his legs. On the dua of the mother, Allah had given him such honor that tafsir as Zamakhshari enjoys that rank as being one of the most authentic tafsir in the entire world. So my respected brothers, without going into much detail, much has been said with regards to this first point. On this night, those of us who are parents, let us make this intention that Ya Allah, from today, if I'm not talking to my mother, I know there are people in this gathering who have abandoned their parents. Brothers, make this intention today. From today, I will stand up. I will walk out of this masjid. I will pick up that phone. I will lock the door of my mother. And I will beg my mother for forgiveness. For indeed, this night will not forgive that person who is guilty of disobeying his parent. The second person, as I briefly mentioned in the beginning, it is that person who is guilty of disobeying. It is guilty. That person who is guilty of harboring malice in his heart for its fellow Muslim brother. Let us look within the lives of Nabi alayhi salam. What a example, what a practical example that was. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he got married to Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, 5 years into this marriage, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses them with their first child, who was given the name Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the eldest daughter of Nabi alayhi salam. Every father understands the sentiments he has towards his eldest daughter. When this girl grew up and she came of age, There was a person in Makkah by the name of Abu al-As ibn Rabi'a. This was prior to the advent of Islam. One day she comes to Nabi alayhi salam, Khadija, and she says, O Nabi of Allah, why don't we get our daughter married to Abu al-As ibn Rabi'a? Wa kana Rasulullah la yukhalifuha. Nabi alayhi salam, very rarely he went against the wishes of Khadija. So Nabi alayhi salam tells her, if you think he is the ideal man, let us get our daughter married. Nonetheless, the nikah takes place between Abu al-As ibn Rabi' and the daughter of Nabi alayhi salam. At the advent of Islam, Nabi alayhi salam, when he received prophethood, his wives and his daughters all embraced Islam. However, his son-in-law did not embrace Islam. The first battle that was fought against the kuffar was the Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, Abu al-As ibn Rabi', the grandson of Nabi alayhi salam, although he was not anti-Muslim, he joined the forces of Kufr, and he was amongst those who were captured as the prisoners of war. Brothers, I beg for your undivided attention. This is an incident that will make you cry. He is amongst those who were captured as the prisoners of war. It was then decided amongst Sahaba Ikram, with the consent of Nabi alayhi salam, that the prisoners of war could buy their freedom, could buy their ransom with jewelry, with wealth, etc. Nabi alayhi salam is sitting in Medina. Zainab radiallahu anha, the daughter of Nabi alayhi salam, is sitting in Makkah, and she knows that her husband has been captured by the Muslims. She is wearing a valuable necklace that was given to her by her late mother Khadija. She takes out this necklace and she sends this in lieu of the ransom of her husband. It comes in the riwayat. Nabi alayhi salam was sitting. This necklace is presented to Nabi alayhi salam. Riqqa laha riqqatan shadida. He starts sobbing and crying like a baby. And he starts cherishing the moments, the close moments with Khadija. He calls his sahaba. He says, oh my sahaba, is this the desperation of my daughter Zainab? I cannot take this necklace with your consent. I want to free my son-in-law without ransom, subject to your permission. Sahaba Ikram say, by all means. Nabi alayhi salam tells his son-in-law that I free you without ransom. But there's only one thing I want from you. When you go back to Makkah, the conditions in Makkah at this moment are hostile and it is not conducive for my daughter to live there any longer. Send my daughter to Medina. Abu al-As ibn Rabi'a, the son-in-law of Nabi alayhi salam, he comes to Makkah. He comes to his wife, the daughter of Nabi alayhi salam, and he says, oh Zainab, your father has freed me without ransom, but your father has requested that I should send you to Medina. Zainab radiallahu anha mounts onto the camel, making a hijrat on the command of Allah. She mounts onto the camel. She comes to a place called Zitua. The kuffar of Makkah had seen that the daughter of Nabi alayhi salam is making hijrat. We cannot allow this to happen. One kafir by the name of Habbar bin Aswad, he comes forward. He takes out his spear and he penetrates the body of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. She falls down, fawaqat ala sakhratin. She falls onto a boulder. She was pregnant, and she drops the child, who was the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She starts bleeding profusely. Her body is carried. She is brought to Makkah. Her body is brought to Makkah. After a few days, when her condition is stabilized, her body is transported to Medina Munawwara. Abu al-As ibn Rabi'a, after a few days, he also migrates to Medina Munawwara. He comes to Nabi alayhi salam and he takes the shahada. Nabi alayhi salam performs the nikah between them two, and they live happily and merrily. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the 8th year of hijrat, she passes away from that same wound that she had sustained in that hijrat. Brothers, in a nutshell, at the conquest of Makkah, Nabi alayhi salam said that killed a man who had assassinated my daughter. This person comes running towards Nabi alayhi salam. Sahaba Ikram say, there is Habbar. They take out their swords. Nabi alayhi salam says, wait, give him a chance. They speak about presidential pardon. I swear by Allah, neither the skies, neither the earth has seen a more forgiving human than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who could shelter the mother of his own daughter. He comes in front of Nabi alaihi salam. Nabi alaihi salam tells him, "What do you have to say?" He says, I was going to flee. But then I heard that you are a very forgiving Nabi. You are a very merciful Nabi. I ask you to forgive me. Fasfa amma kana yablughuka anni. I have come to ask you to forgive me for the wrong that I have done to your daughter. Nabi alayhi salam takes a deep sigh. He's resting. Brothers, are there any words in any language to explain the emotions and the sentiments of Nabi alayhi salam? Today somebody does you down. Somebody tells you something. Brothers are not talking to brothers. And you don't forgive the man. Nabi alayhi salam looks at his sahaba. He says, "Oh my sahaba, I have forgiven him. You also forgive him." His uncle, who was assassinated on Uhud, the riwayat suggests Nabi alayhi salam cried so much on this occasion. On no other occasion did he cry so much. He performed the janazah of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala 72 times. And then he said, "Had it not been because of the sentiments of my auntie Safiya, I would have left the body of my uncle on the ground so that the insects could eat on his body, so that the insects and the birds could eat on his body, so that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, he could be resurrected from the stomachs of the vultures on the day of Qiyamah," to add to the desperation of the kuffar. But even this man comes running towards Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam said, "I killed the man who had killed my uncle." He comes in front of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam says, "Are you Wahshi?" He says, "Yes." "Anta qatalta Hamza." "You killed my uncle Hamza." He says, "Yes." Nabi alayhi salam tells him, "Tell me, how did you kill my uncle? How did you kill my uncle?" He says, "I don't have the heart and the courage to tell you." Nabi alayhi salam says, "I have forgiven him." Nabi alayhi salam looks at him and he says, "Oh Wahshi, there's only one thing I want from you. I have forgiven you. In istata'ta anta ghayyaba wajhaka anni. If you could do me a favor, don't show me your face. Every time I look at your face, I recall the murder of my uncle Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu." Brothers, the same principle. Let us attach importance to what Allah attached importance to. The riwayat appears in Muslim Sharif. Abu Talha Ansari, he goes out in the path of Allah and he leaves behind a terminally ill child. Unfortunately today, because we have deviated from the teaching of Nabi alayhi salam, we find that the husband is going through some financial strain. We find he is living his own life. The wife is living her own life. And in the interim, the children are affected. Let us learn to relate to the life of Nabi alayhi salam. Understand, Abu Talha, he leaves behind a sick child. He goes out in the path of Allah. Allah's doing, while he's out in the path of Allah, this child passes away. Look at the bravery of this woman. Look at the courage of this woman. Understanding that Allah has attached importance in me serving my husband. In what spirit do I welcome my husband? She tells her neighbors, "La tuhaddith Aba Talha," that when my husband returns, don't tell him that his son has passed away. I will break the news to him. When my husband returns, in what spirit do I welcome my husband? She smiles in the face of her husband. Unfortunately today, we have attached importance to things that are unimportant. That is why we have no time for deen. She welcomes her husband with a smile. قَرَّبَتْ إِلَيْهِ الْعَشَىٰ. She presents the platter of food. She knows my husband is hungry. It comes in the riwayat of Muslim. On this particular night, she had adorned herself in such a way that on no other occasion did she beautify herself like that. Allah alone knows what is going through the heart of that woman. Ask a woman who has lost a child. She adorns herself. She smiles in the face of her husband. Who said that a woman cannot smile? But Allah forgive the woman of today as smiling to the wrong man. That smile that you will express to a husband will draw her closer to Allah. That smile that you will express to a stranger will draw her away from Allah. My respected brother, that polite, that kind word that you and I are using in our lift clubs, in our offices, with our secretaries, if we can only use that politeness and that kindness with our wives, Allah's qasam, just as a newlywed couple await the next night, you will return to your wife with that very spirit. She welcomes her husband with a smile. It is said that relationship takes place between husband and wife. At one stage, I had forgotten to mention, he asked his wife, "Before I left to go out in the path of Allah, I left behind a terminally ill child. Tell me, how is my son doing?" So she uses an ambiguous term. She says, "Huwa askanu mimma kan." He is in more peace than what he was. So Abu Talha Ansari took it that perhaps my son is recovering, he's getting better. A word of ambiguity. She's not speaking a lie. The riwayat was, falamma ra'at an shabi'a. When she had seen that my husband is content, his needs are fulfilled, he is satisfied, she beautifies herself. Relationship takes place between husband and wife. She calls her husband one side. Her name was Umm Sulaim. Listen to this. Her name was Umm Sulaim. She calls her husband. She says, "Oh, my beloved husband, I have one question to ask you. Can I ask you a question?" He says, "By all means. Tell me, لو أن قوما أعاروا عاريتهم. Tell me, if someone has to lend you an item for a limited period of time, and the period of time expires, and the owner of the item asks for the item back, will you have any reluctancy in returning this item?" He says, "No, but why are you asking me this?" She tells him, "Fahtasib inda Allah, hope for reward by Allah. Our son was a amanat and a trust from Allah. Allah has taken our son back." He becomes emotional. He runs to Nabi alayhi salam. "O Nabi of Allah, this is what happened. I went out in the path of Allah. I left behind a sick child. He has passed away. I cannot contain myself." Nabi alayhi salam consoles this sahabi. "A'arrastumul layla? O Abu Talha, did relationship take place between you and your wife last night?" He said, "O Nabi of Allah, yes, of course." Nabi alayhi salam makes dua for him. "Barakallahu fi laylatikuma." Mubarak conception has taken place. The narrator of this hadith, one of the narrators of this hadith, Uyayna ibn Hisan, says on the dua of Nabi alayhi salam, the child that was born became the father of 9 sons, all of whom had become ulama and huffaz of deen. That is when we give importance to what Allah had given importance to. One person comes to the door of Sayyidina Umar, that my wife is very abusive towards me. She always back answers me. You know, many men today complain, "My wife doesn't like to listen. Is there any prescription?" So this person knocks on the door of Sayyidina Umar, and he hears that the wife of Umar is back answering Umar. So he thinks to himself, "Both of us are in a similar predicament. I'd rather go back home and make dua for Sayyidina Umar. If I make reference to my problem, he may think I am referring to him." He walks away. Sayyidina Umar opens the door. He sees this person walking away. He calls him, "Oh, my brother, you knocked my door. Perhaps you have a need." He says, "I got a certain problem. My wife back answers me. But I knocked on your door. I heard that your wife back answers you. So I was feeling a bit afraid to present my problem to you. So I thought I'd rather go away and make dua for you." This hadith appears in Tanbihul Ghafirin. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who calls this person. He said, "I want to explain to you something. I know my wife back answers me. I know my wife back answers me. But I don't regard that to be a problem, because this very wife of mine has become a veil between me and the fire of Jahannam." What did Nabi alayhi salam mention on his Hajjatul Wada? "O people, fear Allah with regards to the treatment of your wives. Verily, you have taken them into your possession through the contract of nikah. It is through this contract of nikah that you have taken those wives of yours into your possession. So be careful as to how you deal with them." Sayyidina Umar says, "I know my wife back answers me. I don't regard that to be a problem. My wife has become a veil between me and the fire of Jahannam. Sayyidina Umar says, I know by my very nature, I am so vulnerable that had it not been because of this wife of mine, I would have committed zina with every woman that would have passed my gaze. So number one, this wife of mine has become a barrier between me and the fire of Jahannam. Number two, khabbazatun, she cooks my bread. She bakes my bread. Tabakhatun, she cooks my food. She takes care of my children. And she does so many things for me. When this person heard this, he melted into tears. And he said, oh Umar, if that is your attitude, all the more reason I need to display that same attitude towards my wife. So brothers, this is the second point. Let us stand up from this gathering today. Let us not harbor malice against anyone. One Nabi complained to Allah, oh may Allah, my wife has evil character. Allah said, that is the share of difficulty that I put your way to persevere, to endure. To persevere, to endure. Like one person told me, Molana, you know, I'm so fed up with my wife. Every time I go home, you know, I want to run away from there. Every time I go home, I want to run away from there. We are looking for the prescription for a happy marriage. Brothers, that marriage, like what we find today, we are starting on a back foot. How do you expect Allah's barakah to come into that marriage? Sayyidina Umar used to address, Rahim Allahum Ra'an, may yuqizu sawaib al-hujrat. Who is there who will stand up in the dead of night, and especially in this night of Bara'ah? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to address his wives on this night. Nabi alayhi salam, the riwayat of Abu Dawood. Brothers, you are looking for a prescription for a happy marriage. Nabi alayhi salam said, Rahim Allahum Ra'an qama min al-layl. May Allah shower his choicest blessings on that person who gets up in the dead of night, especially on this night of Bara'ah. For verily Allah descends to the first heaven. And Allah says, is there anyone who is knocking on my door? Is there anyone who has any need that I may answer his need? Sayyidina Umar Rami alayhi salam said, may Allah shower his choicest blessings on that person who gets up in the dead of night. Tawassaka, he makes miswak. Tawadda, he makes wudu. And thereafter he comes to his wife. The words of the hadith, Nadaha ala wajhiha alma. He takes water and he sprinkles it over her face. Of course, after informing her in advance, otherwise we all know there will be problems. Nadaha ala wajhiha alma. Nabi alayhi salam says he sprinkles water over her face. She opens her eyes. Oh my beloved, it is 2 o'clock in the morning. What do you want? He tells her that let us stand up, let us make dua. I will make dua, you will say ameen. You will make dua, you will say ameen. Allah's qasam on that dua of Nabi alayhi salam. I swear by Allah, no Niagara Falls, no Victoria Falls will give you that comfort that, you know, Allah will put into that marriage. Today we find everybody is looking for comfort. Everybody is looking for contentment. Like I always mention, you know, that person goes to the doctor. The doctor tells him, you are suffering from this. You have diabetes. You mustn't eat this for breakfast. Don't eat that for lunch. Don't eat that for supper. Like I always say, the dog in that house is eating better food than the owner. The dog in that house is eating better food than the owner. Today people are searching for contentment. You know, like one person was, you know, sitting on the seaside. So one person comes to him and he says, oh my brother, why are you wasting your time here? He says, no, I'm sitting and relaxing. You're wasting your time, man. Get up and get a job. Get a job and do what? You could buy a house. Buy a house and do what? Buy a car. What? Then what? Then you could buy a villa. Then what? Then you could relax on the beach and retire. He says, well, I'm already doing that. Brothers, today everybody is searching for contentment. People are looking for contentment. We are looking in the wrong things. People are looking for contentment in their marriages. You are going to the Western masters. What has Nabi alayhi salam taught us? Nabi alayhi salam calls Anas. He says, oh Anas, you want barakat in your life? You want barakat in your marriage? Every time when you enter your door, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ عَلَى بَيْتِكَ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَى أَهْلِكَ. Oh Anas, every time when you enter your door, smile in the face of your wife and make salam to your wife. Allah will put barakat, Allah will put blessings in that marriage. Brothers, let us stand up from this gathering. There are so many, I know personally, brothers, I have been involved in so many marital disputes where we find over trivial matters, we find marriages dissolving. So that is the second point. Let us make this intention that on this night, Nabi Ali Salam has advised that that person who harbors malice in his heart for his next Muslim brother, such a person will be deprived of the forgiveness. Another person that is deprived on this night, as we find in the riwayat, it is that person who is guilty of taking different form of intoxicants. Brothers, Allah forgive. It is destroying so many youth, be it substance abuse, drugs, those youngsters that have gathered here in the hundreds. If you are involved in this, make intention on this night that, Ya Allah, I will give up drugs for my life, for indeed this night will not pardon that youngster who is involved in drugs or any form of intoxicants. Nabi alayhi salam spoke to his sahaba and he said, oh my sahaba, a time will come where people will take intoxicants. Sahaba ikram in surprise said, oh Nabi of Allah, will it be that the prohibition would not have reached them? Nabi alayhi salam said that no, the prohibition would have reached them, but people will take these drugs, this alcohol, this wine, give it different names and consume the very same thing. Brothers, it is destroying so many youth. Those that are involved in this, on this night make tawbah. Amongst the other practices that are common on this night, let me go through them very quickly. I've gone beyond my time. Is that person, you know, amongst the practices, alhamdulillah, many of us adhere to, is the visiting of the graveyard and the qabristan. If you study the ahadith of the 15th of Sha'ban, then we find it is mentioned on one occasion, on the 15th of Sha'ban, Nabi alayhi salam visited the graveyard. So brothers, let us see how we can spend this night in ibadat. Let us spend tomorrow fasting. This is something else with regards to fasting. I would just like to clear a point. Many people ask with regards to fasting on the 15th of Sha'ban. We find the ahadith with regards to Sha'ban is totally authentic, that Nabi alayhi salam fasted in the major portion of Sha'ban. However, with regards to the fast of the 15th of Sha'ban, the scholars say that there is weakness in its narration. So if somebody has to fast, you know, has to fast on this day, it is meritorious. But let us remember that Nabi alayhi salam fasted 13th, 14th and 15th of every month. What we normally refer to as the Ayyam Ibith. That was the sunnah practice of Nabi alayhi salam. So if a person has to fast on this day, it will be considered to be a sunnat fast. It will be considered not a sunnat fast. It will be considered to be a nafil and a mustahab fast. Because Nabi alayhi salam has encouraged fasting on all 3 days. That hadith that is mentioned, the scholars explain that there is weakness in that narration where it is mentioned that fast on the 15th of Sha'ban. But like I had mentioned, keeping these 2 points in mind, that we are in the month of Sha'ban and Nabi alayhi salam fasted excessively in the month of Sha'ban. And the second thing also, that tomorrow is one of the days of Bidh. Nabi alayhi salam fasted 13th, 14th and 15th. Tomorrow is the 15th. So inshallah, those of us who have the ability, let us fast this day. Inshallah, Nabi alayhi salam used to advise his companions that fast excessively in the month of Sha'ban. There is a hadith that appears in Targhib wa Tarheeb. Let me terminate on this. That inna fil jannati la shajara. That in Jannah there is one tree. Yakhruju min a'laha hulal. وَمِنْ أَسْفَلِهَا خَيْلٌ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ. From beneath this tree will come out the horses of Jannah. يَرْكَبُهَا أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ. The dwellers of Jannah will mount on these horses. لَهَا أَجْنِحَا. This horse has wings. فَتَطِيرُ بِهِمْ حَيْسُ شَاءُ. The Jannatis will mount on these horses and they will fly around in Jannah. فَيَقُولُ الَّذِي أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُمْ دَرَجًا. يَا رَبِّي بِمَا بَلَغَ عِبَادُكَ هَذِهِ الْكَرَامَةَ كُلَّهَا. That, Ya Allah, what action has this person possibly done that he has attained this rank in Jannah? Allah would then tell this person, he has done 4 things which you had never done in your life. كَانُوا يُصَلُّونَ وَكُنْتُمْ تَنَامُونَ وَكَانُوا يَصُومُونَ وَكُنْتُمْ تَأْكُلُونَ وَكَانُوا يُنْفِقُونَ وَكُنْتُمْ تُبْخِلُونَ وَكَانُوا يُجَاهِدُونَ وَكُنْتُمْ تُجْبِنُونَ. In the dead of night, sleep was too beloved to you. That friend of mine, he stood up and he conversed and he communicated with me. In the dead of night, sleep was too beloved to you. You know, like one person was resting and 2 o'clock in the morning, he gets a call that the alarm is on in the shop. So immediately he gets up, cold winter's night. He goes to the shop and he finds a rat running around. He comes back home, he tells his wife a rat is running around. He goes back to sleep, the adhan for Fajr goes. The muadhin calls out the adhan. So his wife taps him. You know, get up for salah. No, the doctor said, you know, I am sick, I must rest. The doctor said, I am sick, I must rest. Brothers, we've got our priorities wrong. In fact, it comes in one riwayat. On the day of Qiyamah, really, brothers, this fasting that you and I fast, what has Nabi alayhi salam kept in this? It comes in one riwayat. The hawls of Jannat and the women of this world, may Allah make our wives and our daughters and our mothers from the queens of Jannah. It is said on the day of Qiyamah, the hawls of Jannat, they will tell the women of this world, Allah wa nahnu al-khalidat, fala namutu abada. Allah wa nahnu al-raziyat, fala naskhatu abada. Allah wa nahnu al-naimat, fala nab'asu abada. Allah wa nahnu al-muqibat, fala nab'asu abada. Tuba liman kana lana wa kunna lahu. That we will remain alive, we will never die. We are content and satisfied with whatever we have. We don't want anything more. We will live forever, we will never die. Tuba liman kana lana wa kunna lahu. Fortunate are those who will fall onto our laps. And fortunate are those to whom we belong. Then the women of this world, they will come. And they will tell the hurls of Jannah, Allah wa nahnu al-musalliyat wa ma sallaytunna. Allah wa nahnu al-sa'imat wa ma sumtunna. They will tell the hurls of Jannah, you can speak about Jannah and the blessings in Jannah and the palatial homes in Jannah. We can speak about that salah. We stood up in the dead of night and we communicated and we conversed with Allah. Never mind salah, you don't know what is wuzu. You can speak about the different bounties of Jannah. We can speak about the days of Ramadan, how we fasted in the hot days of Ramadan for the pleasure of Allah, and how we quenched the thirst at the time of iftar. Nabi alayhi salam says, because of these two qualities, because of salah, because of fasting, the women of this dunya, they will even overpower the hurs of Jannah. We make dua to the Almighty Allah on this blessed night. Allah make our wives, Allah make our children from amongst those people of Jannah. Brothers, one last person I would like to mention. There are so many other points to mention. Another person that is deprived on this night is that person who lowers his garments below his ankles. The riwayat of Muslim, Nabi alayhi salam said, Thalathatun, three categories of people. La yukallimuhum Allah. Allah will not speak to them on the day of Qiyamah. Wa la yudhiqahum na'imaha. They will never taste the bounties of Jannah. One of those persons are Al-Musbil. That person who lowers his garments below his ankles. We make dua to the Almighty Allah on this blessed occasion. Brothers, like I mentioned, let us cry to Allah. Let us beg Allah. Those youngsters that have gathered, those sisters that are listening, all my brothers that have gathered, let us strengthen that bond with our parents. Let us walk out of this masjid. Those of us who have wronged our parents in any way, let us make this intention that, Ya Allah, from today, I will fulfill the rights of my mother. I will fulfill the rights of my mother. Brothers, today Allah is not asking you to take the sword and kill the kuffar, but walk out of this masjid, take the courage, pick up that phone, knock the door of your mother, kiss your mother on the forehead. I swear by Allah, do that one act, your Jannah will be guaranteed. At the same time, like I mentioned, those who harbor malice and hatred in the heart for the next Muslim brother, let us take this courage. A person has done you wrong. Go up to that person from the deep recesses of your heart. Say, oh my brother, for the sake of Allah, I have forgiven you. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah forgive you and I, those that are listening. Allah forgive our wives. Allah forgive our children. Allah forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, we all know the incident. I don't want to go into it. Malik bin Dinar, it was the 15th of Shaban. Such a great sinner. When he opened his eyes on the 15th of Shaban, he had become one of the greatest walis, one of the greatest saints that history has ever seen. So brothers, let us see how we can welcome this month of Ramadan. The last few moments of Shaban are left. Let us welcome the month of Ramadan. Let us fast in the remaining portion of Shaban. Like Nabi alayhi salam advised, if it would result in weakness in the month of Ramadan, don't fast in Shaban. If you have the ability, fast for a few days, reviving this practice of Nabi alayhi salam. Let us welcome the month of Ramadan with the true spirit. Who knows, brothers, fasting that one day for the pleasure of Allah could become a means of our salvation from the fire of Jahannam. Generally, what tends to happen on the 15th of Shaban, we all make that resolution that, Ya Allah, from this Ramadan, Alhamdulillah, this Ramadan, no TV in the house. this Ramadan I will start growing the beard. This Ramadan I will perform all my salah. We find a person who doesn't perform salah outside Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, he starts off his day with tahajjud, Yaseen, Surah Waqiyah, Surah Tabarak, etc. Let us make this intention. We restrict our intentions, Allah aids us accordingly. Make this intention tonight. Let us say, inshallah, from today till the day I die, I will become a proper Muslim. My opening comments were, what Allah has regarded to be important, I will regard those things to be important. What Allah and His Rasul have trivialized, I will trivialize and make those things unimportant in my life. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah bless us on this beautiful night. We make dua on this occasion that Allah give us a beautiful life. Allah give our parents, those who are alive, Allah give them barakat in their life. Allah give them barakat in their health, in their wealth. Those of us who our parents have passed away, we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah make them maghfirat. Allah elevate the stages. Allah give them the most befitting reward. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah give us a beautiful death with iman in the holy city of Nabi alayhi salam, so that we could rest in the graveyard of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be the first to enjoy the privilege of the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's so much more to mention. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah make us from such people. Brothers, much has been said, but like I had mentioned, the whole idea is for us to make amal. Like I had said, let us take one point with us. The youngsters that have gathered, let us strengthen that bond with our parents. The elderly people that have gathered, I ask you, my respected father, go to the grave of your father, go to the grave of your mother. When last have you visited the grave of your parents? And oh, the businessman that has gathered, give up interest in your life, give up wrong in your life. I swear by Allah, tomorrow you'll have something to show Allah. Allah will give you the highest abodes in Jannah. Allah inspire one and all. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Recite the Durood Sharif.